Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you will be listening to Pat Milligan, former pastor of the Cadillac and Lake City Seventh-day Adventist churches in the Michigan Conference, and presently pastoring in the Oklahoma Conference. And now, here's Pastor Pat.
Bethlehem. What does that mean? The house of bread. So Jesus came in the house of bread, and then he said to the religious leaders and the people, I am the bread of life. They should have recognized it, shouldn't they? He was born in Bethlehem, the significance, the meaning, and they missed it. I hope we never miss it. Amen. In Luke chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says that the shepherds hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. The shepherds didn't go to see the stable. They went to see Jesus. People today are a lot like those shepherds. They don't so much want to hear about Jesus. They want to see the place where Jesus is born. And when he is born in the human heart, there's a sparkle in the eye. There's kindness in deeds of the hand. And people are attracted. I remember I was in the airport coming back from seeing my mom about 3 or 4 weeks ago and sat next to these Christian people. They live downstate. And they said, you know, our son, he has a business. He's doing very well. And he said, he handed us, I think it was $2,000 in $100 bills. And he said, Mom and Dad, he said, just go to Walmart. And he said, just find some families, mothers with children, that you think that could be blessed by, you know, these gifts, just $100 per family. And they go, okay, we can do that. Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. So they went to Walmart, and one lady that had some little children there, they went up to her and they handed her the $100 bill and they said, Merry Christmas. And she broke down and she started crying. She said, you don't know my needs right now. I really could use this. Thank you. So, yeah, that's a blessing. One life in which he has been born, in which love rules, can make a dramatic difference. Just one person can change everything. A tourist family on Christmas Eve from France, the wife of this family, three boys, stopped to eat in a diner at a dismal little restaurant where a listless pianist was plucking out some tired Christmas tunes. At one table, a child was crying because his father had gotten angry and slapped him for misbehaving. At another table, a wife was bitterly berating her husband for some apparently horrendous misdeed. At least one patron of the restaurant was happy. Though a sailor, he was writing a letter as he ate. From the smile on his face, he must have been writing to his sweetheart. While the tourists awaited their meal, an old woman, drenched from the rain, entered with a basket of flowers and tried to peddle them at each table. Her efforts were in vain, though, until she came to the sailor. Cheerfully, he bought two, paying 20 francs rather than the required two. Crushing one corsage, he put it in his letter. He took the other to the stranded travelers and asked the husband, may I give this to your beautiful daughter?
Wow.
It was really his wife. Then he was out the door. The flower lady began to dance a jig, for now she had money with which to celebrate Christmas. The daughter, who was of course really the man's wife, sat sniffing her corsage with stars in her eyes. The pianist caught the spirit and began playing with such enthusiasm that the atmosphere in the room warmed and everybody joined in the carol. One love-centered life had made the difference. Isn't that so true? Just one person can change everything. Lesson number two, when people came into the world, God gave his best. Wouldn't you agree with that? God gave his best. According to the creation story, at the close of each day in Genesis chapter 1, God stood back and smiled and said, "That's good. They'll like that." And on day 2, "That's good. They'll like that." When God came into the world, people gave him leftovers. They placed him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. They placed Jesus where they usually put the cow feed. The barn was what was left over after the motel was full. After everybody else had gotten what they wanted, God gives us his best. Chances are he gives us some family, a few friends, perhaps a degree of health and prosperity. Better yet, he gives us his son. And with him, there's forgiveness and eternal life. Are you giving God the leftovers, leftover love? After you've loved yourself, your family, your friends, God gets what's left. Leftover money. After your needs and most of your wants are met, if there's any left, that's what God gets. Leftover time, you're tired, busy for church, or a kindly deed. If God gets any time at all, it'll have to be whatever time is left over. Why not be an exception and give God your best? These lessons from Bethlehem help us to understand that God can make anything beautiful. Even a barn can be made beautiful, but only if the door is left open to let him in. Amen. You know, I don't know if I shared this last year, but this is such a touching story. I just got to tell it again. And this is the story called The Man and the Birds. The man to whom I'm going to introduce to you is not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, mostly good man, generous to his family, upright in his dealings with other men, but he just didn't believe all that incarnation stuff, which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. "I'm truly sorry to distress you," he told his dear wife, "but I'm not going to go to church with you this Christmas Eve." He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay at home, but that he would wait up for them. And so he stayed up, and they went to the midnight service. Shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier, and then he went back to his fireside chair and began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound. Something kept hitting his window. Thud, thud, then another and another. At first, he thought someone must be throwing snowballs at his house. And then he went to the front door to investigate. He found that a flock of birds, huddled miserably in the snow, they'd been caught in the snowstorm, and in a desperate search for shelter had tried to fly through the large landscape window. And so, well, he couldn't understand, and he couldn't let the poor creatures just lie there freezing to death in the snow. Can I hear an amen, Holly Kay? Right? That's right. Yeah, you would have lots of cages there, Bruce. He remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter if he could direct the birds to the barn. Quickly, he put on his coat and his galoshes, and he trampled through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the doors wide, and he turned on a light But the birds did not come in. He figured, well, food would entice them in. So he hurried back to the house. He fetched some breadcrumbs, sprinkled them on the snow, making a trail to the yellow, wide-open doorway at the stable. So there it is. Just follow the trail. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs and continued to flap around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around them, waving his arms. Instead, they scattered in every direction except into the warm, lighted barn. And then he realized that they were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, I am a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I am not trying to hurt them, but only trying to help them. But how? Because any move he made tended to frighten them, confuse them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. If only I could be a bird, he thought to himself, and mingle with them and speak their language, then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to the safe, warm barn. But I would have to be one of them so they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached the ears above the sounds of the wind, and he stood listening to the bells, Adeste Fidelius, which means, Oh, come all ye faithful. Listening to the bells, pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And what do you think the Holy Spirit told him? He told him, I became a human. You wanted to be like the bird. I became a human that I might speak your language that you could hear and understand. And it says that he sank to his knees in the snow and he confessed Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You love that story? God wants to give us some wonderful gifts this Christmas. And he wants us to give him a wonderful gift. Now, since God owns everything, except for some things he doesn't own. And you know what he doesn't own? There are some hearts that haven't been given to him. He'd like to own them too. Amen? Everything else he owns, right? The only thing really God wants for Christmas is our hearts. And he will continue to lavish on us lots of gifts. But he only asks for one thing. I mean, God is a generous God. Amen? For the pain we are experiencing, God wants to give us joy again. And we all go through pain at times in our life. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's financial. But everybody goes through some kind of pain, right? You're not going to get off this planet without going through some tribulation, right? Not one of us, because pain and tribulation will either do two things. It'll either make you bitter or better. You'll either get mad at God and shake your fist at him, or you'll surrender all and say, Lord, I know you have 1,000 ways of where I only know of one, and I know you'll help me in this problem that I have. And that's the better way. Amen? Yeah. So he wants to give us joy. That, in fact, you know, it's one of the gifts of the Spirit, right? Joy. You know, some people say, oh, no, God doesn't want me to be happy. Really? For our spiritual blindness, he wants to give us sight. I mean, you know, it's just really so true what the Bible says, that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So how was I, a kid, a wild teenager, ever going to want to accept Christianity because I had no desire, zero? How in the world is that going to happen? Well, through pain, I turned to the Lord, and then he changed my heart. I was born again. Then once you're born again, all of a sudden, a light comes on and you desire the Bible. You desire spiritual things. You want to witness. You want to pray, you know, right? But before that, it's like I had zero desire. We used to make jokes about going to hell. So, I know I'll be there. You'll be there. But all my party buddies will be there. Well, we'll have a big party in hell. Yeah. We used to joke like, I know you probably find that hard to believe, but just knuckleheaded and not thinking, you know, you don't think right, right? That's right. But the light came on when I surrendered my heart, December the 7th, 1978, at about 6:30 in the evening, God changed me, just changed me. You know, I was born again when I dropped to my knees. You know, when a person gets desperate enough, they will learn how to pray.
Yeah.
You've heard of that story. There's no atheist in the foxhole. Maybe some truth to that. Amen. And so for my blindness, God gave me sight when I was born again. Oh, I'll never forget that. I went to the power plant the next day and I started telling everybody about Jesus. They said, "What happened to you? Did you go to church?" "No." "Did somebody lead you to the Lord?" "No. Last night I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired and I gave my heart to the Lord." And they all scratched their head like they didn't think it worked that way. They thought, you know, church needed to be involved or somebody needed to be involved. Well, there was somebody that was involved and it was Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Amen. They were involved. Amen. Yeah, there was somebody involved. All right. Number three, for our worry, he wants to give us his peace. Jesus said over and over again, "My peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled." You know, right? Right. For all our unanswered prayers, God wants to give us patience. Oh, he's teaching us patience. Amen. For all our afflictions, God wants to give us his strength, realizing that he is the strongest through our weakness. Isn't that right? Paul says, "For when I am weak, then I am truly strong." For all of our loneliness, he wants to give us his companionship. And I hope that you're getting into the habit. I know my wife and I, we've kind of gotten into a habit of craving spending time with Jesus in the morning, you know? Or you say, "Well, I can't do it in the morning." Well, do it before you go to bed. But every day, you should be craving spending some time with the Lord. Amen? That is a good, good habit to get into. And that's the best way to break an old habit is to develop a new habit to put in its place. And we have so many good books, church family. I mean, we have just fantastic devotional books from the Spirit of Prophecy. We have just so many books to guide us, you know, that are encouraging, uplifting, spiritual, that will just bless us. Amen? Yeah. So we should develop that good habit of craving spending time with Jesus every morning or every day. So at this time, I've got a little time. I'd like to maybe open it up and I'd like for you to share what you're thankful for this Christmas season and how you want to just thank the Lord for all the many gifts that he's given to you and maybe something that you would like to share with somebody else. Is there somebody that would like to give a testimony?
I just want to praise God that in our weakness, he's given other people around us. I want to thank God for my husband. I'm the weaker vessel, but I have a man of God who loves me.
Amen.
And patient with me. I praise God for that. I praise God for our daughter who wants to be with us, even when we don't know where we're going or what's happening. And I just praise God that we're still bringing forth fruit in old age and we can be fat and flourishing because Jesus wants to work many miracles. In fact, I just got to talk with my friend who's now, this is this third week of being off caffeine and cigarettes, the Sabbath after Thanksgiving. He quit Amen. Both cold turkey. And so a week after that, he was praying and fasting for his son to get off alcohol. And last night I called him up. I was really concerned for one of my other friends who's kind of mentally under demon possession. And he prayed for my friend. He knows him personally. He's a neighbor of his. And I'm just like, isn't that wonderful? Now I have a prayer partner who knows the ones I've been laboring for and praying for him in prayers that I can't even utter. I praise God for all this church family that he's given us.
Amen.
I appreciated Dennis's special music. Mm-hmm. And while he was singing, I just wanted to invite Jesus to come into my home and to find a place.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I would like to praise the Lord. You know, I just retired this year, January. God has been still using us in old age. And I'm grateful again that I will be able to read through the Bible this year again. And not just me, but also my family has joined me. It makes a big difference, you know, when you start out with God on a daily basis and make him number one in your life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And share it with others too.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else?
I'm very thankful that a few years ago, I met my wife and she led me to this truth. And I'm thankful for a wonderful marriage.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for a church family that is very caring. It was very much demonstrated when we did the backpack ministry. Mm-hmm. Even though not very many people come like we had hoped, our church supported it incredibly.
Amen.
And I can see how caring and giving that our whole church family is. And for the good friends we've made. And I'm just thankful for the truth in the Bible. That I can't believe for years that I read the Bible and somehow didn't see it. But I'm really glad now I did. And I just thank the Lord that I have an opportunity yet to try to witness to my kids and my friends and share with them what I believe is the truth found in the Bible. And I'm very thankful for this church that somehow it was God's will, I believe, that it worked out so awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for everyone that's here today. And I'm very thankful for our radio station that
Amen.
We can be on the air 24 hours
Amen.
A day speaking our message in God's love and sharing.
Amen.
And that's just incredible when you think about we could be in every home and every car around.
Amen.
And many times people just love to hear good Christian music and mm-hmm. good Christian speakers.
Yeah.
And I think it's an incredible blessing.
Amen.
So. That's just some of the things. I could talk the whole half hour easy of what I'm thankful
Amen.
For, but I better let somebody else talk.
All right, Brother Dennis.
Well, I am thankful that through many of my more unpleasant times that I know that God is with me, I have seen his working. My stay last year, it showed me while I was at Metalodge, that, you know, he is in control. Through my stay there, Alake started doing this live feed on Facebook. And it showed to be more than a blessing than just to me. And so that is why we are continuing it. And I think it is a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And that lets me know that when I'm staying, like maybe this last day, that I really didn't see any good that might have come out of it, that still good can come out of it because I've seen it happen before.
Amen.
And I know that God is always taking care, and I appreciate his care over me, and I appreciate my church family and my friends, my family, just the support that I have, and it feels good.
Well, you're an encouragement to all of us, Dennis, because we look at you and we see that you've gone through a lot of trials and tribulation, and yet you just bounce back and you just come back and start praising the Lord. And it's like you've gone through a Job experience and yet you just come back and the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away and blessed be the name of the Lord, you know. And I tell you, we all salute you, Dennis, because it's like, would we all have his attitude if we have gone through what Brother Dennis has gone through the last 18 years, you know? And so you're a source of inspiration to all of us, believe me. Bless your heart. And God bless you. God bless you.
I would like to express my thankfulness for God's patience and long-suffering. This morning I was reciting some of the things that I've very grateful for and very blessed. And it's humbling because I've not been a very humble person all the time. I mean, usually I think I'm pretty humble, but sometimes I just really need to be smacked upside the head and remember. But this morning when something was being said up front, I don't remember what it was about not being attractive at first or something. Anyways, I can just remember when I was Sabbath school teacher in Manton for the youth class, and this lovely woman who's been sitting beside me for the last 18 and a half years was in that class, and there just wasn't that attractiveness to me during that time. And it's like God had to open my eyes. God had to open my eyes. And there's been rough times, but you know what? I couldn't have asked for a better wife.
Amen.
If I had tried to pick one myself. And I was just commenting to her this morning how beautiful she was.
Amen.
I said, you're... Well, never mind. I'm not going to tell you what I said. We're being broadcast. Anyways. Alrighty then. I'm getting a little hot under the... But I'm very thankful for my beautiful wife, and I'm thankful for God's timing and everything, too, because this week, I knew I needed some dry wood. We're trying a new venture, you know, with burning wood and everything, and of course, we didn't prepare because we move in when winter has already started, but I was going to go cut down a couple dead trees, and I thought, oh, yeah, I'll just go out there, cut them down, and, you know, a lot of just delays. I couldn't get going that morning. There was one thing happening here, another here. And then finally I get driving out to the bowl where the trees are at, and I see Steve's truck over there on the other side. And I'm like, wow, Steve's here. I had no idea he was coming. But he just showed up, and it was at the right time because I got up there around that tree and I was starting to cut around, trying to clear some of the briars and stuff around the base of the tree. And I realized once we got involved with it, I said, if I would have tried to cut that myself, first of all, I don't think I could have, but if I did manage, I probably would have killed myself because it was way bigger than anything I had ever attempted to do. So I'm very, very thankful for how God sends people at the right time. And
Steve, God sent Steve.
Yeah, Steve, God sent Steve. And you know,
thank you, Steve.
I could probably talk forever just like Bruce. But anyways, I'm thankful for all that God has done for me. I'm thankful for his word, and I'm thankful so much that even despite our orneriness, he can shine through and get to our stony hearts.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anybody else?
I'm very thankful that God brought me not only a partner for life in Becky, but also someone to lead me to the word. I was pretty much a heathen for a long time, some 40 years. And now have kind of got on the right path. And I'm thankful for that. Not only that, but to find such a wonderful church, you know, I'd like to say we lucked into it, but I know better than that.
Amen.
And to have you folks as our church family is awesome. So I'm very thankful for that.
We're going to have to break the ice pretty soon for you.
Yeah.
Are you guys all with me? All right. We love you. Amen. Anybody else?
Yeah. I just want to say one thing. Steve was talking about the right timing. Well, there's a couple of sermons I've been editing for Christmas, and they touched on Daniel chapter 9, which is the prophetic chapter. And they brought out how Christ came on time as a babe in Bethlehem. He died on time, and he's going to come on time, his second coming.
Amen.
And we need to be ready.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
I'm thankful that Jesus brought Trish to him, and she's studying every day and growing and growing. And the kids are too, and I hope he'll just help me to know what to do and
Amen. Amen.
I'm just going to make mine really short. Everyone's pretty much highlighted everything that is thankful for. I am thankful for my family. Very simple things like my health, a home, warmth, things that we don't even think about, water. I am so thankful for just the simple things too.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Heather right here.
We were talking last night about how God is so worthy to be praised, and he designated a day to spend with us. Mm-hmm. And it's each week, and it's just a very special day, and I'm very grateful for it.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for a wonderful Heavenly Father.
Amen. Yeah, Bailey.
I like to do an hour exercise, and while I'm doing that, I'm listening to either some of my sermons or some of my members' sermon. And I'm very inspired, as we have done on Lack Revelation, and some of those people whom I baptized are preaching.
Amen.
And
Amen.
The youngest is 30 years old.
Amen.
So praise God. Amen. It's wonderful to see the fruit of your labor.
Amen. Well, today we've eaten the cake, but we've saved the best for last. Okay, the frosting, that's right. And so we have a little surprise for you guys today. And we'd like to ask for Susan Hill if she would come forward. Susan Hill has been attending our church here now for, what, a year and a half? A little over a year. And Susan Hill used to live downstate, didn't she, near the White Lake area. And it was a miraculous thing how she just found our church. I think she got an invite to the prophecy meetings, I think in Cadillac, and then she realized that there's a church closer here, came to Brother Steve's meetings and really enjoyed them, and has been coming faithfully ever since. And so Susan has been baptized. She was baptized at White Lake, Michigan in 1995, and we're going to bring her in on profession of faith today into the Lake City Church. Baptism, which you were baptized, symbolizes confession of faith in Christ, adoption into the family of God, and commissions you for service. So Susan, she was already a Christian. She just wants to accept all of God's commandments, not just 9 of them. You know, she already believed in the Lord Jesus, believed that he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She just wants to advance even more knowledge. And so we want to give you the right hand of fellowship today and give you your certificate. And then we want to give you your little booklet here. Welcome to the Michigan family. This kind of tells what's going on in the conference here, okay? Yeah. And so if there's a motion on the floor to accept Susan in by profession of faith, I'd like to have a motion here and a second. And everybody said, Amen. This is your family. Yeah. God bless you. Would you like to say anything?
The last meeting that we were in, I was sitting there and listening to everyone. And
that was on Steps to Christ Wednesday night. Yeah.
Wednesday night. And the Lord must have just come up into me. And I had so much love for the body of Christ, for everyone here. Mm-hmm. I am just so grateful for you all.
Amen. We love you too. God bless you. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your wonderful love. We're so thankful for our church family here in Lake City. Continue to pour out your Holy Spirit upon every person that's here and just unify us and help us to truly represent you in this area of Massachusetts County. And we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be bright and shining lights, and continue to be with your daughter, Susan. Strengthen her and bless her and her dog, Sprite. Lord, watch over that dog as well, because that's her little companion. And we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Pat Milligan, former pastor in the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists and presently pastoring in the Muskogee area churches of the Oklahoma Seventh-day Adventist Conference. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit a Seventh-day Adventist church this coming Sabbath? The congregation will enjoy sharing their worship service with you. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.